EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
Alright, Bob, take a look. Alright, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you all doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Our guest tonight is Nancy in Mississippi, sharing her experiences of being a lifelong contactee as she explores her complex relationship with higher dimensional beings and her quest for personal growth and spiritual understanding throughout her life. Nancy is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm proud to be here.
Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from Mississippi.
Yes, I am. I'm calling from Mississippi. I've lived a lot of places, but this is where I call home now.
Wonderful. Mississippi in the South. Okay, I know we have quite a big listening base down that way. Now, Nancy, you're going to be sharing your lifelong experiences the best you can. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yes, I would. Well, it has been a lifelong experience. I recall back in my toddler years where I would have visitation and they would fly me around, which I thought they were just flying me around and looking at cities, looking at different places. And they would tell me, oh, you're a little princess. We're flying you over all your cities. And so, you know, it was fun, imaginative, just wonderful, you know. It didn't even seem, you know, it was like a beautiful dream. So it carried on throughout my life. I started suppressing a lot of it and became fearful as I approached my later teenage years up until my 20s, because at this point I had been exposed to what the world's opinion of extraterrestrials were. And, you know, I started seeing things on television and at the movie theater that showed them as being horrible, you know, and not necessarily a wonderful experience for human beings. So, you know, I became fearful during this time period. So then as it progressed, which it kept happening and things, and when I got into my 20s, they stopped the imagery, different things, and they started giving me conscious face-to-face in small increments through my experiences for me to get used to it. So looking back on it all, it all started at a very young age and has progressed as I have gotten older, more intelligent and more understanding on the things that are happening around me, so that they stopped the screen imaging and became face to face. And at that point, I still was a little scared and hesitant, and they knew this. So they would let me be conscious for as long as I could. But then if I would start to feel anxiety or fearful or whatever, they would put me in like a trance-like subconscious state, which I would still be functional, but I would have segment type recall. It wouldn't be like a total recall, like it would be consciously. It would be fragmented, and, you know, and it would be like bits and pieces trying to piece together. So, you know, I started looking around, doing a little research. I, you know, was trying to understand, why is this happening to me? What is the deal here? What is going on? So I started to ask them, you know, why me? What does this mean? What is the purpose of this? Is this going to happen for the rest of my life? And am I correct in thinking that it's been happening since I was a small child? So what they did was they showed me a vision of myself being born and coming into a human being form, and that I had made an agreement with them, the extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, to come and have the human experience and be here at this time in humanity to help them to accept extraterrestrials, to help them to go through ascension, and to help them to realize our place in the universe, who we are, that they have watched us all our life, and that why they are here and why this is happening. And, you know, and for me to help others to understand what's going on. So it's a lot. You know, at times it was fun and great. Other times it was fearful and, you know, unsure of myself, to up to now, to where I am a 63 years old. And I totally understand the beauty of it all. It's a unique awakening to find in my inner self who I am. And they have helped me, and they were very patient with me, and they are with all human beings. They gave me the opportunity to live and experience my human experience and understand that I made a decision to come here for this experience, which helps them and me. They understand what it's like to be a human through other people like me. I'm not the only one. There's probably about a million of us that have incarnated here for this very reason. So we are their source of learning about human beings, and also for us to have this experience and for us to help others to understand that a lot of things that we have been told is misinformation. A lot of things throughout our life, we have been lied to and denied our extraterrestrial heritage. And basically, we are waking up. They are coming to see people, all humans, one time or another, or maybe all at once. I really don't know that. I do not know everything. I'm a human being experiencing human life. So I can only speak from that aspect and what they have shared with me. But we are all here in a school. Being human is a human experience. It's a school of learning, and we're all here for different reasons.
Nancy, could you take us through, especially some of the earlier experiences, how it all began, you know, what you felt, where they took you, you know, before they started telling you all this? All the conscious stuff.
Okay. Well, I've had a lot of different experiences. A female companion that has been with me all my life. She is a short 4 or 5 foot female gray, and I simply call her my ET mother. And she is always comes to get me and carries me to craft or wherever I'm going to have an experience. She gets me there and gets me back home. So I've had many experiences. Some of them are like going into an extraterrestrial city and holding her hand and walking around and looking and seeing things. Of course, it does not look like anything that we have here. And so we're walking around, and this one time we come across this creature or entity, whichever you want to call it, and it was unusual looking, and it was not humanoid at all. It was more of, like, to me, more of a, like an animal, but it was a living being. So, and this animal or being was acting very funny to me. It was like whining sounds and wanting attention and wanting to be close to other beings. And I think basically what it was trying to feed off of energy off other beings. And it was the closest thing I can consider it as is a Akron type being. And my ET mother explained to me that it was a dying race and that it was searching out for other beings to live off of their energy. They like to connect or attach themselves, steal your energy. But of course, being where we were, all the other beings there knew what it was doing and just ignored it. For me, it was pretty scary, but it was an experience, I suppose, that they wanted me to understand that there's a lot of beings out there and there's a lot of beings that are trying to stay alive, but unable to because due to our awareness and intellectual level, we don't fall for their tricks, so to speak. And then other times it would simply be just flying over and observing things. And that was always fascinating. And I even have dreams of flying. It continued throughout my adulthood and to now. So other things that I experienced was they came and got me and took me to a craft, and then we transported over to a type vehicle. I was in there with some other human beings, females, that I was sitting beside, and I asked her what we were doing, what was going on. And she said that we were out looking for other entities or animal type beings that were in the wrong dimension, the wrong place. And we were riding and observing, and they were retrieving these beings or entities or animal-like looking creatures and taking them back to where they belong because they didn't want them in the dimension we were in, which was probably our dimension, and because they create havoc, fear, and the interdimensionals did not want them to do this havoc. So they were finding them and then taking them back to where they belong. And pretty much I was just an observer in this. The unusual thing about this is there were other beings. There were grays, there were humanoids, and there was an aquatic being. And the aquatic being pretty much stayed to the front of the craft and really didn't give us, never looked back at us, never really, you know, made an effort to talk or get to know us or anything. So I was very curious by this because he was very different looking. So I walked to where he was and sat down, and I said, "Hello, how are you?" And he just looked at me and nodded and didn't say anything. And then he started going back to his task, which he was going through his equipment and things of this nature. So I just sit there for a few minutes, and he never really wanted to communicate. So after I sit there and watched him for a little bit, I just politely got up and went back to where I was seated. So basically we were going through these different areas and looking through these different type of night vision or different vision apparitions, looking for these beings. And they would show us either heat sensor or there was indications that there was something near. They would go to it and then retrieve it and put it in an area that I never saw, but it was a part of the ship I did not see. And then we would leave once they had collected what they were there for. And then, you know, that's pretty much all I remember of that dream. It was like a dream state for me, or it was, now I think it was probably a lot of conscious memory, but it's kind of hard to tell sometimes because things become fragmented. I will say this, the most recent conscious contact that I have had was in September of this year. My son and my sister are also experiencers, and the extraterrestrials wanted my son and me to come to San Jose del Pacifico in Mexico, which is high up on a mountain. So my son planned the trip and got us there, and we flew into Mexico City, and then we took a smaller plane over to Huatulco, and I'm probably not saying that right. And so once we got there, we took like a shuttle bus up 3 hours up into these mountains, and they wanted us to experience being around this indigenous people called the Zapotec tribe, and they're also known as the people of the clouds. They live way up high in the mountains, and when you look down from the mountain, you're above the clouds. So they're the people of the clouds. The temperature is very cold up there, and it is not a tourist area. There were no ATMs, there were no cell phone coverage, and very limited patchy internet coverage, which my son knew all about these things. So he brought provisions for us to be able to do things, you know, as best we could. So once we were up there, we had conscious contact with them every night. But my son and I did find out that we each have a different group. When I say group, Grays come in a party of three. So the three that have been with me all my life and transport me from wherever I am on Earth up to their craft, my son has totally different ones. So the first night, they came to see my son. And of course, I did not know this at the time. So I raised up because I can feel their presence. I raised up, and one of them, and it was not my female gray that I am always with, and touched me on my shoulder and kind of pressed me down and through my mind said, lay down, go back to sleep. This is not about you. So I did, of course, and I laid there, and then I could see that they were there for my son. So after that, throughout the week, they came for me one night, and it was my female gray that I was always have, and two others, and we were holding hands at one point, and I was like running my fingers between hers and touching the top of her skin, and I told her, I said, oh, you're so cold. It's so cold here. You know, I looked at her and she really didn't say anything or even in my mind say anything. And so then I look over across the room and my son, who is very conscious of their presence, is under all these blankets because there was no heating or cooling in this cabin we were in. And he was like in a constant state of trying to get up, but couldn't get up. He'd get up, and then he'd fall back down, get up, fall back down. And they were doing that to him because they were there for, my group was there for me, not him. Even though he was very aware of their presence, they were there for me. So they would not allow him to get up. So when I realized that, my anxiety level increased. And I said, Chris, because I was concerned about his, you know, what he was feeling. And at that point, my female gray, she tapped me on my head and put me in a trance state. And I really don't remember anything that happened after that, except that when she brought me back and I got in my bed, I had this incredible feelings of intensity of their presence and whatever had happened between me coming from their craft and getting back in my bed. It was just this incredible feeling of, it was overwhelming really, but I went to sleep pretty quickly after that. So all my life, I've had like all these different experiences, and most of the time I didn't understand what was happening. One thing I never understood was when they would come to get me when I was young and early 20s and 30s, that I would be laying in the bed, sense a presence, and I would keep my eyes closed because I was still fearful at this point, but I would feel my whole body vibrating from head to toe, toe to head, and it would just vibrate. And it wasn't like a incredible feeling of feeling great, but it certainly did not feel bad. I really don't know what to compare it to, except that your body is vibrating. So at that time, I didn't understand. All I knew was that I would vibrate, and then all of a sudden my body would start to go up, and I would like be going through the ceiling or through a wall or, you know, through things that human beings aren't capable of doing. So I never understood, and it was very confusing for me, but I would always, once I would look around, realize that my female gray mother was holding my hand and leading me to craft. So now I understand through my consciousness with them and just them allowing me to retain more information is what they were doing to me is they were changing my vibrational level, which was with my frequency from Earth three-dimensional up to their frequency. So once they got my body to their frequency, then that is what allowed me to be able to go through these ceilings, walls, doors, etc. So, you know, that was made it a lot more easier to understand once, you know, they explained this to me, because I can't express how long I was so confused and just did not understand all these things. And a lot of times I ask them things and they say, you already know. So in my subconscious, I guess that would be my ET mind, I do know a lot of things, but in my conscious mind, there's a lot that is held back. So I have also figured out, and, you know, from what they've told me, and for a long time, it did not rest with me. Anytime and throughout my life that I've had bad experiences going through personal problems or like two divorces, things of this nature that were very traumatic to me at the time, they would all always come to me and tell me that if this gets to be too much for me, that I could always come home. Well, I never really understood what they meant by home. And to be honest, it never registered with me that this was not my home. You know, I really never put two and two together. So I do understand now that I was an extraterrestrial and made the decision to come here to have this experience to assist humanity and to let the world know that they are good, kind, loving beings. And they are here to assist and help us. They cannot come down here and fix everything for us. Human beings, we are here on free will. We make our mistakes. We are responsible and need to fix them. We have to learn from our mistakes and learn and grow, just like a child. When you tell a child, no, you cannot do this, and they do it, they have to experience, you know, the outcome of these things, the consequences. So they look at us in the same way. We are like children to them. They played a part in our creation and tinkered with our DNA. And our DNA is not of one race. It is of many beings. So they've been watching us this whole time throughout our history. Mankind's here on Earth, and they want to get to know us face to face, and they want humanity to be ready for that. They don't want to push us, just like they have never pushed me. They never pressure you or push you until you are ready. And then when you are ready, then that's when more things are made known to you and you become more conscious of what's going on. So there's a whole lot involved, but this is a worldwide event. This is not just about one particular person or thing. What we fail to recognize is that human beings are not the only things important on this planet. To extraterrestrials, we are just a small fraction of what's important what they consider our Earth as a living being. Our Earth is so beautiful, magnificent, and is a living being. And they feel like don't give her enough respect. We pollute our air, we pollute our waters, etc. They want to help us to change these ways. They want us to grow into being a being that could be part of a galactic society with other beings. And we have the capability of doing these things. We have a lot of things inside us that are dormant due to, within the last 100 years, we've had a group of people, whether it be black hats or whether it be draconian reptilians, whether it be a lower rim of grays, or a lot of just really rich people that like to keep us under a thumb. They don't want us to evolve or become more than what we are, because they have control over us and they control everything. Our politics, our banking, our religions, they control everything. But we are waking up and we are going to outgrow these old ways, and we're going to learn that those ways are wrong and that we have the capability of these hitting things. We, with a little assistance from extraterrestrials, we can learn to heal ourselves. We can learn to be more intuitive, be more telepathic. We can learn to eat better foods. All our foods, all our waters are toxic. Extraterrestrials would not eat or drink our water because of the toxins in them. So we will learn to pay better attention to the foods that we are given, the water that we are to drink. We'll learn that, you know, they have strong pineal glands. And that is a lot of why we don't have a lot of intuition or telepathic capabilities, because these things have been dumbed down. And these lower rim of extraterrestrials do not want us to evolve, because we will outgrow them and will not need them. And they, one reason why is because they, being lower rim, they can never become interdimensional beings. So as long as they can keep us under their thumb, then they have control of our world. So with the assistance of the interdimensionals, we can become interdimensional. We can find our greatest place in history. We have the capability of being so much greater than what we even realize right now. And it will be through extraterrestrials' assistance and us waking up and realizing that we've been lied to all our life about so many things. So a lot of things are going to change.
Do you have an interest in the paranormal? Then you'll love the UnxNetwork.com. The X is your streaming audio and video for everything supernatural, strange, and mysterious, like UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, and so much more. From hosts like Clyde Lewis, Whitley Strieber, Micah Hanks, and Christina Gomez. Visit the UnxNetwork.com show page for a complete list of all the paranormal programs you'll find on the X. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for updates at KUNXDB. Follow our Facebook group, UnX Network. Find the podcast on Spotify, iHeart, Audible, and Apple Podcast. It's time.
It's new.
It's the X.
Why don't they just have a more of a hands-on approach? If they want us to change and they want the world to change, why not do something more physical?
Well, you and I are having this conversation, and that's a miracle in itself, because we wouldn't have, 20 years ago or 10 years ago, this would be taboo to a lot of people. But you have to understand, they're not just waiting for you and I. They're waiting for the whole world, all of humanity, to get on a certain frequency of acceptance and a certain frequency of realizing great changes are fixing to occur. And if we play our cards right and accept the fact that we're not alone in the world, accept the fact that we can receive a little assistance from extraterrestrials, that we can all of us better ourselves, and our planet and our everything will be better. They can assist us in many, many things. They can help us with eliminate poverty, help us eliminate using all the fossil fuels and things of this nature. We should not be paying for all this energy. We should be living better lives. Our experience here on Earth is very short compared to any other beings in the universe. So our time here, we are enslaved in a system that is controlling us, and we really don't get to experience the full human experience. We don't get to enjoy being young, being middle-aged, being a senior citizen, but we can change all this. We don't have to work from 9 to 5. We don't have to be a slave to the system. Being so materialistic and paying taxes and all these things, we can learn to live a more slow-paced life and actually enjoy our experiences here more, not living from paycheck to paycheck, worrying about how you're going to put food on the table, worrying about how you're going to pay all these bills, how your child can have the things that other children have. All these things they can assist us with, and we can stop being in this world that deprives us of having a beautiful human experience. So a lot of people say, well, I have a niece that died of cancer. Why didn't they come down and fix that? And my answer to you is that they have approached our governments throughout humanity, and they denied the help, because the only thing that extraterrestrials asked for in return was that we not play with atomic bombs or nuclear energy, that these are things that not only affect human beings, but it disrupts the balance of nature, disbalance the balance of the world. It also unbalances things in the universe that we take for granted. So the simple fact that they would not agree to not play with nuclear weapons and atomic bombs, they rejected their assistance. So that's a major reason why. But I think if you look back, and I'm a living example of the fact that they have helped me to have, they can't fix silly things about me, but they can fix, you know, a kidney stone, or they could fix different things. And I know that they have done things on me. I don't really ask what it is or anything like that. It's just, you know, I understand. And a lot of times when they're doing exams on people, it is looking for things of this nature. And a lot of times people don't understand what is happening to them, and they have fear. So a lot of times it's just, it was interpreted wrong. Just like in the past, people thought they, in the old days, people thought they were seeing angels and chariots of fire and all these kind of things, because their intellectual level wasn't up enough to understand. But we are finally at a level where we can understand these things. So now they're looking at their reveal and working with all of humanity, rather than just going to political sources or government sources, because they want all of humanity to be aware of these things, all of humanity to reap the benefits, not just a few that decide to suppress these technologies for their own personal gain, if that makes any sense to you.
It does. But I would, if I was them, I would cut out the middleman. You know, I would avoid, you know, they always say, why didn't they land on the White House lawn? That would be the last place.
Exactly. Why would they? They would not. And that is not the approach. The approach is coming through, and I'd say there's probably a million people like me. Maybe they're not awake yet. Maybe they're not to the point of understanding who they are and why they're here. But that's why I want to reach the world, because I hope that I can reach others like me and will step up and help humanity understand what we are going through and the beauty of it all. This is nothing to be scared of. This is a beautiful thing. This is something that is the greatest thing humanity will ever experience. It's beautiful, and it will be a beautiful time ahead. So they will not land on the White House lawn. That will never happen. You know, they will, as we become and raise our vibrational levels up and start trying to be better human beings, they will start to show themselves more. And again, I am a perfect example of this. I know that it's important that we understand that this is a big cookie for the world to swallow. Not everybody is going to be as happy about this as you or I or a lot of people, because, you know, they're going to find out that a lot of things that they learned and grew up and thought that they were living the best quality of life, and a lot of that was untruths. And it wasn't their fault. It's just the way society has raised us and brought us to be. So it's nobody's fault. So a lot of people will suffer mental health issues. And that's one thing that I want to stress to people, is that there is a group called UAP Medical Coalition, and they are trying to get mental health workers ready for this, get them educated and learn about experiencers and that they may need people to talk to. I mean, they may not be able to talk to their family members. Everybody is on a different growth level of understanding all this, and, you know, a growth level of our DNA being activated and waking up to things. So an example I can give you is that I went and talked to some mental health therapists that I know. And the whole time, you know, I was thinking, I hope I'm doing the right thing. I mean, because they could easily judge me. They are mental health therapists. So I was open and explained my life story to them, and that I felt like that people will need people like them to give them guidance and to help them to put the fragments together and piece it together. You know, need someone that understands the mind a bit better than just the average person, and simply someone to talk to, you know, to get these things out. And so, of course, when I left there and I was riding through the countryside, and, you know, I was like thinking, you know, I hope I did the right thing. I hope this is what they wanted me to do. And then through my mind, it said, look to your left. And I looked to my left, and it was, they made a craft visible for me to see. And it was beautiful. So that was how they let me know that they were happy that I was communicating with people in the mental health field and letting them know that a lot of people will have mixed feelings about this, and a lot of people will suffer mental health issues and things of this nature, and that they need to be aware and prepared and educated and prepared, you know, to be there for these people. This is a big thing. This is very big, and they know this, and they understand humans, because of all the people like me, they know firsthand from my experiences. They've been watching me my whole life. They see it's not a bed of roses being a human being. They see that it can be quite wonderful at times too. It can be, our experiences can be on top of the world, wonderful, you know, but we have all these different emotions and things that they do not have. So we're very unique, very, very unique. And we're very capable of being very, very much greater humans than we even realize. And they're going to help us with that if we accept them.
So what is next? Do they have plans set out for us, or do they have possible timeline?
Everything is on a timeline. I'm not privy to all the information. I'll be the first to tell you, I do not know everything. You know, I'm having a human experience and also an experience as a contactee. And I've never called myself an abductee. I am not an abductee. I think that that's a whole different subject, and not with interdimensionals at all. That could be either people, military, pretending to be extraterrestrials, or it could be a lower rim that I talked about earlier, the lower rim of the there's one group of grays that work with the reptilians, and there are 62 races of grays, by the way. And so this one race, I think, is from Orion, and I could be wrong, but they work with a race, and there's many different races of reptilians, many different races of Palladian, many different races of Volturian. Not all are good, but the ones that are good are interdimensional, and there is more than one race. But the people that call themselves abducted or have all these horrible claims are these lower rim extraterrestrials that cannot become interdimensional. They are stuck in the solar system. So they'd like to keep us stuck here too, because they have full control over us. So I'm not an abductee. I lived in Australia for 5 years. And at one time I felt like I was having an out of body experience, and I ended up on a craft, and I was on an exam bed, and I looked around, and appeared to me like a lot of humans running around. And all of a sudden they were like, oh, send her back. We cannot touch her. Send her back. And that's all I remember of that. Next thing I remember is waking up going, what was that? So that might have been a group trying to pretend to be extraterrestrials, trying to abduct me, but they realized because of my frequency that they couldn't touch me. I belong to the interdimensional. So
now, Nancy, you said your son is also involved in this.
Yes, he is.
And was it pretty much since he was young?
Yes. I have two sons. My oldest son is the one that has the experiences, and he talks about it, and we communicate about it. I actually saw, I don't know if it was the first time that they were ever, can't say it was their first time, but our family, we were vacationing in Key West, and we were at a Marriott hotel on the beach, and my ex-husband and I were in one bed, and three boys, two of the boys were my sons, one was a stepson, and I woke up. And there were three grays. And these grays were not the ones that come to get me. These grays had on, they were the four footers and a little shorter than my gray, at least by a foot. They were shorter. And they had on robes with collars, high collars all around. And I raised up to look, and I saw two of them immediately. One was took their hand and put on my shoulder and indicated for me to lay back down. And again, this was not about me. And the other one was coming on the far side of the children's bed. So I laid down, and I was unable to speak, and I was unable to move, really. It was like that sleep paralysis. It was. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up, couldn't speak. And so I was like, oh my goodness. They are here for my children. And of course, you know, a thousand things started running through my mind. Like, I need to be there for them. I need to be, you know, a part of this. But that's one thing that about the small, shorter grays. They are hybrids of the tall grays, but they are biological. They are not robots like we call robots by any means. They're biological, but they are a hybrid off the tall grays, and they are workers that go back and forth, you know, and they have, the reason they use them is that they are designed to be able to handle the density of Earth, where the other interdimensionals, it plays havoc on their bodies and stuff, and they don't like being here for long periods of time. But the little hybrids are able to stay longer periods, and they more or less serve as a transportation function, and among other things, I'm sure. So I was laying there, unable to move, unable to speak, you know, trying to process the fact that my children are being taken, and I can't be a part of it, and I can't stop it. I can't do anything. So then I went to sleep. And the next morning when we all got up, I could remember it. And we all went to breakfast, and we were sitting there, and I said, well, do any of you boys have any interesting dreams you want to talk about, or, you know, just anything you want to talk about? And they just kind of looked at me, and they all shook their head no and said nope, and started eating their breakfast. So I just left it alone, because no harm had been done. You know, they were physically fine. They were either didn't want to say anything or and thought it was a dream, or either the ET suppressed it. So either way, I just let it go. So really and truly, that was when I realized, okay, this is more than just me. And they started answering questions like that I was extraterrestrial before I came here, and that I agreed to be here, all these things I mentioned earlier. So anyway, now my oldest son, he is very high tuned with them like I am. So he knows if they came next door to visit neighbors, we would know that their presence was near. We would feel it. My younger son, I'm sure he does too, but he's younger, 5 years younger than his brother, 4 years and a half. He's not ready. And they don't push you until you're ready. They don't push you. They're very, very patient beings. So, yeah. So another thing too that I guess I should talk about is the fact that they do have souls. A lot of people want to know, well, do they have souls? Yes, they have souls, and they believe in a creator source. Now, it is not the same. They don't believe in different religions. That's all man-made stuff. In our version of God is a man-made thing, but they do believe in a creator, one source. Now, that does not mean that extraterrestrials did not have a part in tinkering with our DNA and stuff. They did. And that was fine with the creator source. So a lot of these things are quite different. Their minds work differently. The way that they look at creator source is quite different than we do. And so it's very, very, it's beautiful, but it's very, very complicated. And also for me, I do know a lot of things I probably purposely black out from my conscious mind, because I have a family here. I love them. I love them with all my heart and never want to be away from them. But I also know I have a family, an extraterrestrial family, that are waiting on me. And when I am in craft, I know that there's peers all around me, and part of those peers are my family members, and I make a point not to make eye contact with them at this point, because I don't want to ever, I know that it will just all come surging into me, the love, the family, and everything I feel, but I have to be able to still continue my human life here and experience being a mother, a grandmother, the whole human experience. And I'm not finished yet, so I don't want anything to interfere with that. But at some point, I will acknowledge and have the best of both worlds, so to speak. But right now, I'm perfectly content being here. And they've always told me that when I was ready to leave, that I could come home. I'm not ready. I love being here. And I know that my mission here is a far cry from being over, you know. So that's why I probably purposely don't remember a lot. And there's probably a lot there in my subconscious. Well, there is a lot in my subconscious. It's just at certain points, more will come in as I am ready. And the human brain is nothing like an extraterrestrial brain. So they're very understanding of this, so they're not going to overwhelm me with too much information all at one time. It's hard to explain, but it's a very real, very beautiful. And through me, I can only tell you that they are patient and they care about everything on this planet, including the animals, the water, the nature, trees. Trees are living beings, and they said at some point we'll be able to realize that trees and plants are living beings, and that we're just not able to see these things yet. But even when a dog or certain animals look at us, they see us from our energy as an energy being. They don't see us in this vessel that we're in. We are in a human vessel, but our beings are etheric or energy based. And when you take this human suit costume off, all of us look alike and we're all connected. We are one. So basically, as we go through our human experiences, when we leave this earth, this body that we're in, it dies, but our soul and our consciousness moves on and goes up to Creator Source. And at that point, we can either decide to come back and do the human experience again, because we may not have learned all the things that we needed to learn. We may not have experienced all the things that we feel that are needed. So if you reach a point where you think you've met all these experiences and all these tasks that are designed for you to do, then you can choose to either be an extraterrestrial, or you could decide to stay in your etheric energy being source and just be up around closer to the Creator Source and just be etheric with all those other beings that are there. So it's a lot. So I hope that, you know, that I can explain this to people that they can understand and feel the love that I have for extraterrestrials. I love them. They are my family, and they are here to help us.
And have they ever told you, you know, how do they spend time here? Do they live here? Do they spend time traveling?
Yes, they can come here. They can change their appearance. They can be invisible. I know that there's bases and underground installations and bases in the water that they have, and they live on larger motherships up in space. So, and there is more than one race in our solar system. They are here waiting for us to awaken and to finally accept them. But yeah, they are here. I've been places where I've seen them while out shopping. And the reason I know is because I can feel it. You know, I can feel it. And then they're in an image that's very comfortable for any human eye. But they're, for me, it's also to the point where I know that it is them, because it reminds me of maybe a movie character or a character in a movie or something of this nature in human form. So they can do so many different things, but yes, they can come and mix in, and you know, and they do have underground, and they also have underwater bases, and throughout different planets they have bases. They do have motherships up in space as well.
Did they ever give you any insight into their technology?
Well, I know that they're interdimensional, and through frequency, vibrational frequencies, they can jump from dimension to dimension by simply thinking about it in their mind. And I know that our physics does not apply to them, that they do not travel in any means that we think of traveling. So for them, there is no time. Okay. There is no such thing as time. And with a thought, they can, like I said, bounce from dimension to dimension and go from A to Z, from spot A being where they are in craft to going to the destination. It can be done through frequency and through thought. Their craft are conscious beings. Their pilots were created in every race. They're created and they are at one with the craft. Their mind and the craft's mind, they have to do is either with their signature, and it only recognizes their signature, and nobody else can do this. They connect with the craft, and it's mind to mind. So through their mind, they tell the craft where they want to go, and then that craft gets them there. So it's the craft is a living being, and the extraterrestrial being that is his sole purpose, is to be a pilot. And he is connected with that machine, and I couldn't sit down and operate it, or you or somebody or another extraterrestrial that is not created for this purpose. Most races, a lot of races have like different purposes. I know like in the gray races, there'll be one race and they're all, their DNA is tinkered with, I guess, and they're all pilots. There may be a race of extraterrestrial and they're all scientists, or another race, and they're all doctors. So
There are so many races that have spread themselves off across the universe. Why do they have such an interest for planet Earth? I mean, out of all the planets and the life which exists out there, why Earth? Knowing how destructive and corrupt, probably not the nicest of tourist places to visit.
That's true. Okay. They played a part in tinkering with our DNA and our creation and becoming who we are today. They also played a part in all living things on this planet. So they love it. Planet is beautiful. Our planet is a living being, something wondrous to behold. We, unfortunately, humans don't get to see all of their planets, so they don't know how beautiful she is. So they love our planet. They see the entire beauty of it. They see the entire population of it. They see all the indigenous people, the people that are native and don't even know about technology or things. They know and relate to all these things. And so they are fascinated with us because we are unique and we have lots of potential, but we still need a little help from them. But we can do wondrous things and be a very respected part of the galactic community of the universe. So, you know, we are very unique, very special, and we are children to them, and they did play a part in our becoming who we are. So why wouldn't they be fascinated with us and want to help us? And why wouldn't they see our Earth that they helped create to make it hostile for us and things of this nature? Why wouldn't it be wondrous and beautiful? And they want to see it to last forever. And that is why they have asked in the past, please stop messing with technology that you do not understand the severity of how it will make the balance of nature so unstable that it also affects ripples out into the universe. So why wouldn't they want to come down and see this beautiful thing, us beautiful creatures that have so much potential? And they're like a million years ahead of us in evolution. And this is nothing new to them. They've experienced this a million years ago. They've seen other beings throughout the universe that have gone through this stage of evolution. And so as they have learned from their mistakes, as they have seen other beings make mistakes, why wouldn't they help us? Why not? We just have to accept the fact we are all a little bit extraterrestrial. We are not alone in the universe. We have brothers and sisters that want to help us and lend us a helping hand. They will not fix everything for us, like I said before, but they will do as much as they can without crossing the bridge of free will and us making our mistakes and learning from them. You know, we have to, when we make them, we have to fix them, and we have to learn from them. So being the beautiful planet that we are, why not? Why not?
But does it concern them now that we're, you know, we're venturing out to space and, you know, we still have these nuclear weapons? We now have nuclear weapons which are 100 times more powerful than they were back in the 40s. And now we're, you know, we're venturing out to space. We're going to bring these technologies out to space and then start to impact outside of our own planet. Whereas before they may have looked at us like children with matches, but now we're kind of leaving and encroaching on other environments. So will they just let us make our mistakes?
As long as it doesn't wipe out our planet, and as long as it doesn't affect the balance of nature and all innocent parties involved, because just because one crazy country decides to do something, why does the whole world have to be affected by it? They're not going to let that happen. They will not allow nuclear weapons up in space. They will not allow us to play and tinker with atomic and nuclear weapons anymore. So we are venturing out into space, and we are at a pivotal point in our evolutional scale where we are stepping outside of our known world into others. So they will not let us make the mistakes that other planets have made and that they have seen or may have experienced themselves. So they will not let us do that.
So will they definitely intervene?
Yes, just like they have gone around and closed off nuclear plants as a show of determination on their part and a show of their amazing technology that they have. So we can still venture into space and still evolve into, you know, get our foot in the door in space and learn and evolve and meet other beings, but it will be with clean energy, clean means of doing these things. And there's a lot of technology that we're not even privy to that they have, but they can assist us with it. Maybe we will have to make some promises of not using technology in the wrong way. We need their assistance. We really do. We have a lot to learn. We have a lot of growing spiritually, intellectually. You know, we need to learn empathy. We and they can assist us with these things. All we have to do is make a start and start trying to be better ourselves.
Yeah, I think we'd have to start with probably not being such a divided planet. The main hurdles is that the world is so divided, you know, and obviously this is deliberate. You know, there are certain individuals which make this happen. Because if everyone obviously came together and instead of fighting wars and getting angry and greedy for money and power, then we would be so much more advanced than we are. You know, nations would all work together and things would be a lot better. It'd be a much happier place.
Yes, we would enjoy our lives here so much more. We would be more fulfilled and our experience would be of great wonder rather than being what it is now. So in my eyes, we have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to learn, a lot of things we need to look within, find our inner self, and these things will come to us in our mind and we will acknowledge that we are great and wondrous and have the potential to be a great human being with lots of potential, and we can change this world. We can make the changes that need to be changed, learn to work together. And it will not happen overnight. It will take time, but we have to start somewhere. And it's time to start. We cannot put it off any longer. It is time.
That's wonderful, Nancy. Our listeners will certainly take something from everything you said tonight.
Thank you so much. It means so much to me. This is my purpose in life. You know, it brings tears to my eyes. I just hope I meditate with them before I do this because I want to say the right things. I want it to be relatable to every human being. I want to do this right, you know, so.
Nancy, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now. Enjoy the rest of your day, Nancy. All right.
Okay. Bye.
That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Nancy for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.